we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
December the 9th, 2015. It's hard to believe, but just a little over 3 weeks left of this year, and then we'll be moving on to 2016. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for better things in 2016 than some of the things that I experienced in 2015. Thank God he equipped and enabled and empowered us to get victory over those things. And there's been a lot of good stuff that happened, but I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like a clean canvas to work with in 2016. But we trust you're having a good Wednesday today. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio program. It's heard on 91.5 FM WMIE at 8:30 Monday through Friday. It's also 8:30 AM. It's also heard at 5 o'clock PM, half hour program. And then on WWBC 1510 AM, it's heard at 10:30 of a morning. So we pray that you'll be blessed whenever of those three programs you get to listen. Today at 11 o'clock, we have our vintage service. And, then tonight at 6 o'clock, we have our kids ministry, we start serving food at, six, serve it till 6:30. And, I just want to give a shout out and thank you to all of the ladies who, help out with that. We have a number of volunteers. We probably have the best adult to student ratio in kids ministry in the nation. I mean, we just have a lot of security cleared. We've done background checks on all of our volunteers and, our staff and everybody's got a clean background there. And so the children are in a nice, safe place where they can learn to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And, so we want to say thank you. The ladies work hard. Actually, My wife comes straight from work. She works down in Melbourne, drives up to Merritt Island, and immediately goes to work in the ministry. And we're the last ones to leave the church of a night. And we go home and generally fall into bed and get up the next morning and back to work. And so by the time Thursday night rolls around, we're pretty excited about having a night just to rest and relax. But this weekend, we have a youth party on Friday night. We have a staff and board party on Saturday night. And then we have church all day Sunday. Women of Worth Christmas party on Monday night. Kids Christmas party next Wednesday night, a week from today. So we have just lots and lots of activities. We have our Sunday morning. We have our kids Christmas program. And then I'm preaching a Christmas message. It's probably a little different Christmas message than I've ever preached before, but we're looking forward to that. And then Sunday night, the 20th, we will be having our Christmas banquet. And one other announcement there as far as our calendar goes, or a couple of other announcements. We have our Christmas Eve communion service that will take place at 6 o'clock on December the 24th. We are normally done, I would say, by 6:45 to 7 o'clock at the latest. And then, on Sunday morning, December the 27th, really excited about this. Major League Baseball player Luke Scott is going to be ministering the word of God to us, 10:30 AM, on Sunday, December the 27th. So that is our only service that day. So we encourage you to come out. It'd be great. I don't know about you, but I get excited about meeting professional athletes, and it would also be a great opportunity if you've got any budding little little leaguers or high school ball players or junior hires in your family, this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to come and hang out with a major league baseball player who lives what he believes, in spite of whatever has come his way. And so I know his pastor real well. We've worked on it for a couple of years to be able to get him to come. And he's going to be going into spring training or getting ready for spring training here right after the first of the year. So come and hear Luke Scott Sunday, December the 27th, 10:30 a.m. Let's get back into 2 Peter chapter 1 if we can. Today I want to begin reading. We're talking about remembering things that we should remember. And verse number 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So it says here, Peter writes and he says, "For this very reason, that you are going to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust," that was in verse 4, "that in order to do that, we need to be very diligent and add to our faith virtue." In other words, just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that it is a completed task. That faith needs to manifest in your character. There needs to be virtue. There needs to be a noticeable transformation. As I talked about on a previous program, a butterfly that has undergone metamorphosis does not resemble the caterpillar that it was before it was metamorphosized, before it was transformed. And so I want you to know that your character should be changed. If you know, I tell people, I said, you may not believe this, but as a child, as a teenager, I was one of the most introverted, soft-spoken, quiet individuals that you ever saw in your life. You all are listening to a person here on the radio program that is has changed a great deal from being just a very quiet, soft-spoken individual that just kind of blended into the background to somebody who is not afraid to get on the radio here, proclaim the Word of God, and say, you know what? It's the Word of God that brings about the transformation. So I want to ask you, has your faith changed you? Has it made you more like Jesus? Because it really should. To virtue, you should be adding knowledge. It is this last Sunday, the person that was receiving the offering, he made this statement, and that was this. You know, we have a very good adult Sunday school class here at Merritt Assembly of God. We've actually got three different Sunday school classes, one for the smaller kids, one for the teenagers, and one for the adults. And he said, we have excellent Sunday school classes. And if you're not here, you really should be here. I had this conversation. You really will not, for the most part, be discipled just sitting in a Sunday morning main worship service. You really need to get into a relationship, a classroom where you're free to ask questions and things that you may not understand. You need to have that sort of discipleship process going on in your life, because, like I said on yesterday's program, no matter how long you've been at this, there is still more to learn about God. There's still more to learn about God. I'm into close to my fifth decade of walking with God, and there's still so much that I want to learn about him. Listen, I don't believe that's diminutive on my part. I don't believe it's insulting. I believe that God is going to take all of eternity revealing himself from glory to glory. And I think it's actually arrogant to think for a person to think that they have learned all there is to learn and know all that there is to know. And they adopt a mindset that says, I no longer need you to teach me anything. Whenever I hear a person say that, I know this. It's not going to be long until that relationship is transformed, because God wants us to be learning something. He wants us to be learning about him. So we need to add to knowledge. And to knowledge, we add self-control. Here's the thing. If we do not learn to control ourselves, then our parents are in place to help us learn how to control ourselves. If we do not learn how to control our finances, the bank will help you to learn how to control your finances. If you don't learn how to behave yourself, then your teacher at school or your pastor will come along and they will help you to learn self-control. If that fails, there's a police officer and a judge. Somebody somewhere is going to be in place where God says, this is the person that you will learn self-control from. Now, I remember my fourth grade music teacher. It's not that I remember all of my teachers. I just remember some of them. And primarily, I remember just little certain aspects about it. But I remember my fourth grade music teacher, that when you went into her classroom, that plastered all over her classroom were signs that said this: self-control, self-control, self-control. On Monday, I was in my office and I was reading through my emails. And in my emails, I have a couple of newsletters that I get. And so what I do is, those newsletters are really just a series of articles, and I look to see if there's any articles that might be able to help me, or they're a lot of times they put just a catchy title on it, and sometimes I scan it and say, you know what, that doesn't really, you know, do much for me, and I hit the delete button and stuff like that. But I saw this one about the church's dirty little secret was pretty much what the title of it was. And so I began to read it, and it talked about this person who had just come out of seminary, and he was in the first church that he was pastoring after he got out of seminary. And the quote went something like this: why is the church the only place in the world where people can throw a hissy fit or a temper tantrum and it's perfectly acceptable? And I said, wow, what a statement. I went in and I talked to my office manager and I said, can you believe somebody actually said this? Because I'm here to tell you that temper tantrums should have stopped when you were two. Temper tantrums happen, and listen, my kids threw them. I probably threw them when I was a child. My wife probably threw them when she was a child. Yeah, all of us have probably thrown our temper tantrums. We throw temper tantrums when we don't get our way, when we want something to be done on our time frame in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to us. And if it doesn't happen, we throw ourselves down in the floor and we bang our fists on the floor and we kick our feet and we scream at the top of our lungs and we make life miserable for everybody else until we get our way. Now, here's what happened with our kids when that happened. We did not come along and pat them on the head and say, you know what, everything is going to be okay. We're sorry. We apologize. Here, let me go ahead and do it the way that you wanted it done in the time frame that you wanted it. We didn't do that, because if we did, we would have rewarded them for their temper tantrum and their lack of self-control, and we would just have reinforced that that was acceptable behavior. Instead, we told our children, look, you can throw yourself in the floor. It's not going to change anything. You can scream. It's not going to change anything. We are going to go on and we're going to do our things. Now we always kept an eye on them, but they didn't know that we could see them. All they knew is, look, this temper tantrum thing did not work. And so the guy who wrote this article, he talked about some of the things that people did. And I don't care if you're the pastor or who you are, you can't be throwing temper tantrums. It is a sign of immaturity, not a sign of maturity. And so you and I, we've got to learn to control ourselves. We need to learn how to conduct ourselves in a manner that represents a redeemed relationship with Jesus Christ. So self-control. To self-control, you add perseverance, because the easiest thing in the world to do is to quit. Anybody can do it. Anybody can quit. Anybody can just throw up their hands and say, it is not worth it. But it is when you persevere and you press on that all of a sudden you begin to achieve things that no one else could achieve. Actually, in Revelation, it talks about that there is a time of a challenging season that is coming, and it says it in a couple of places, that it says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. That would be my definition of perseverance, to have patience and know that this is not going to go on forever, and to endure and to just keep on. So, last Saturday, I had a project I was working on with one of the men of our church of a morning. I told you on yesterday's program about the lady in our church that got blessed with a new place to live. And so Sunday afternoon, my wife and I were helping to move some stuff in and helped get her situated before she went to work that afternoon. And then afterwards, I went grocery shopping with my wife and helped her with that. And when we got home, our dog had been restricted, shall we say, for quite a number of hours, and had not had much of an opportunity to exercise and get out and enjoy life and to run and all that sort of stuff. And so I said, you know what, while you're putting up the groceries, I'm going to take the dog for a walk. And now this dog is part husky. And so we have this harness that we put on her that she doesn't strain so much that she ends up choking herself. And so it's a nice, safe thing. And I want you to know that dog began to walk at such a pace that as soon as, I mean, just was so excited to be out and roaming around and enjoying new sights and sounds that she hadn't participated in that day, that I started to trot. Well, when I started to trot, she started to run, and pretty soon I'm trying to run as fast as I could go, and she's running faster than what I could run. And, you know, I discovered that my perseverance level is not what it was up to when we had a previous animal. And this animal is actually my daughter's dog. It's not mine, but she was off having a party with a bunch of young adults, and they'd had a trip to Orlando, so I took it upon myself to take this dog for a run. Now, our previous dog, back a few years ago, my perseverance level was a little higher, and we have a course that we run. It's right around a mile. And so he and I, we took off on a run, and this dog was a pretty heavy dog. and we went for a run. And when we got back to the house, both of us kind of looked one another, and I looked at him and said, "Man, I can't believe you made the whole mile." And he's kind of looking at me and it's like, "Man, you're so old. I didn't realize that you could make it a whole mile." I want to ask you today, where's your perseverance level? Have you already reached that place where it's in your mind that it says, "I will not quit. I have come too far in my relationship with Jesus. I remember all that he's done for me. I remember how horrible life was without him, how miserable life was without him, and I will not quit." Perseverance is absolutely essential, and it says to that you and I should add godliness. We talked about that on yesterday's program. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. You and I need to be developing those things. Here is why. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember that Jesus saved you for a purpose. He redeemed you for a purpose. There were works that he created for you before the foundation of the world. You were created in his image to do things that he prepared for you before you even existed. He had you on his mind. You are not a person born out of place or out of time. He chooses for you the times and the places where you live, that all men everywhere may seek him and come to know him as Lord and Savior. So you and I, we are supposed to be abounding in these things. We're supposed to be possessing these things. And it says, if you do these things, remember, it is going to prevent you from being barren or lifeless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you know him as Lord, or if you know him as Savior and Lord, then I want to ask you this. What kind of fruit are you producing for him? Because there should be fruit. There should be something that is manifest. There are a few ways that you can know about what type of tree it is. You can know by the type of wood. A lot of times, people who are really skilled can identify a tree just by the shape of the leaf. There is another test, and that is you can identify it by the type of fruit that it produces. You were created by God, saved by Jesus Christ to produce fruit. You are not an end to yourself unless you are the thief on the cross, where you say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," and immediately Jesus is going to he turned to him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Unless yours is a deathbed conversion, I'm here to tell you that you are to be fruitful. There is a place for you in the body of Christ that you are custom made for. And so I want to encourage you to not be barren or lifeless, but instead to be fruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness," and get this, "and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Okay, so it says that if we do not have those things in increasing measures, if we don't possess them at all, if we are not being fruitful in our knowledge of him, then what we are doing is we are manifesting the reality that we are short-sighted. Another way of saying that would be nearsighted, that we just cannot see very far. And, it says here, even to the point of blindness. There's legally blind where you can see, but you can't see very far or very well. And then there is the fact that you cannot see at all. And people who are not growing in their relationship, it begins to affect their vision. Not just for what they can see, but what they perceive, what their place is. They're only focused on a very, very narrow window when God wants us to have an eternal perspective. I've told you about my love for golf, and I I'm hoping that I'm going to get to play more golf in 2016 than I did in 2015. But I will never forget the first time I went and played golf after I was diagnosed with the need for bifocals. And it said, your vision varies. There's an area where in order to see far, you need this. And there's an area where you need to be able to see this. And so I had these progressive bifocals, and I didn't really give much thought to it until I went out to play golf, and I looked down at the golf ball, and these were brand new. I had not got accustomed to them yet at all. And I looked down at the golf ball, and the golf ball was just bobbing all over the place because my eyes were just, every time I, even though I kept the eye on my eye on the ball, the glasses were rotating, and I wasn't seeing things clearly. And so I took my, after the first shot, I took my glasses off for the next shot. But then once I hit it, I didn't know where it went. And today I want to ask you, what does your vision field look like? Because if we're not growing, it tells us here that we're going to forget something, that we're going to forget that the reason we are the people that we are is because we were cleansed from our old sins. Today, I want you to remember that Jesus is the one who paid the price and cleansed you for your sin. And what that memory will do for us is it will give us a compassion for people who have yet to be set free. Never forget that you were a professional sinner without Jesus, and Jesus still is saving souls. He still wants you. And listen, what happens is the farther we get away from that conversion experience, the further it gets in our memory bank. And so all of a sudden we can start looking at people and judging them and condemning them and not realizing that that would be us if it wasn't for Jesus coming into our heart. Today, I would like the Christmas season of 2015 to be one that is filled with new people coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. Recently, there was a person that I saw and that just God has done such a remarkable work in their life that they were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people that they were just meeting. I want to challenge you today. Don't be nearsighted, but instead look for Jesus to change people's lives near you. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.